We leave the last critical comment on Mahler's Symphony No. 2 to his young assistant conductor and protege, the 19-year-old Bruno Schlesinger, who wrote, to quote Mr. Schlesinger, "This tragic symphonic dream of man's fate and confident faith was performed at Berlin Philharmonic Hall. The work, masterfully conducted by Mahler, had the effect of an elemental event. I shall never forget my deep emotion and the ecstasy of the audience as well as the performers," unquote. This same Bruno Schlesinger, who under the name Bruno Walter was to become one of the great conductors of the 20th century, spoke for many others when he stated that the concert of December 13, 1895 marked truly the beginning of Mahler's career as a composer. Mahler Symphony No. 2 is a philosophical tract, a spiritual and emotional journey that documented Mahler's pan-religious belief structure, at least as it existed in 1894. It's not a Jewish religiosity. It's not a Christian religiosity. Frankly, from a purely dogmatic point of view, the message of the symphony has more in common with various Indian and Eastern religious philosophies than European. Like Beethoven's Symphonies Numbers 5 and 9, Mahler's Second is a catharsis symphony. It begins darkly and tragically in minor and achieves, ultimately, major mode triumph in its finale. Mahler's Symphony No. 2 is a massive piece in five movements, scored for large orchestra, vocal soloist, and chorus, which uses a song from Des Knaben Wunderhorn in which he explores the questions and issues of life, death, the nature of God, and redemption. Mahler Symphony No. 3, written almost immediately after the second in 1895-96, is the natural companion piece, the other bookend, the fraternal twin of the second. Mahler's third is, like the second, a massive piece, this one in six movements, scored for large orchestra, vocal soloist, and chorus, which also uses a song from Des Knaben Wunderhorn, a symphony in which Mahler explores nature and the cosmos, evolution, the seasons, the lives of plants and animals, people and angels, culminating in an extraordinary 27-minute or so hymn to divine love. According to Mahler, and I quote, "My third symphony is a gigantic musical poem. It includes all the phases of evolution and depicts its gradual rise. It begins at the heart of inanimate nature and progresses to the love of God," unquote. A bit ambitious in programmatic and philosophical content, yes? I would say so. Perhaps a tad exaggerated in expressive scope and ambitions, yes? Okay, does it work? Is the whole greater than the parts? You bet. Again, Mahler's famous dictum, the symphony must be like the whole world. It must embrace everything, unquote. In a letter dated August 29, 1895, Mahler laid out the plan of the Third Symphony to his friend Fritz Lohr. Quote, "The performance time of my new symphony will probably be 1.5 hours. The emphasis on my personal life, that is, what things tell me, corresponds to the unique expressive content. The movements are meant to express the arrangement of all creation as follows. The creation of life out of lifeless matter. What the mountains tell me. What the flowers tell me. What the animals tell me. What mankind tells me. What the angels tell me. What love tells me." Now, we have time, sadly, to sample only one of these incredible movements. So let us begin at the beginning with the first movement, which Mahler referred to variously as the awakening of Pan, the creation of life out of lifeless matter, summer marches in, and what the mountains tell me. Please note, from the void comes jagged, primeval, craggy, vertical musical power, uneroded as of yet by the forces of nature, undecorated as of yet by the niceties of human civilization, meaning, in this case, melodic embellishment. Mahler, Symphony No. 3, Movement 1.